We have another question, and that question was from Jay, who asked us on via our Facebook page. We have another question off our Facebook page, which you can access through kcaw.org, our website. Lon, this is from Kathy. How can we get more funding for students or reduce expenses / expenditures without having students peddle unneeded wares or high-caloric foods from door to door? Thank you, Kathy, for your question.
That's a great question. well, that's a huge concern. How do we fund education in Sitka? Really is the nut we need to crack. And currently, most of the funding that we receive in the Sitka School District comes from the state. So right around nearly 70% of the funding that comes into the Sitka School District comes via the state. There's a little bit that comes from the federal government. At times, it's been more, depending on secure rural schools and whether or not that is in effect. And then the last bit of it is our local contribution. And for the last several years, anyway, the city and borough of Sitka have not contributed to the full extent that they can. Now, they also are facing certainly funding issues. And so we have worked with the assembly to try to make education a priority for them to realize and to fund. And I think we have a good working relationship with our assembly. But we continue to try to advocate that there's always more that can be done. And there's a long ways to go before you're back at the cap. And Sitka historically had funded to the cap. Right now, funding by the city and borough is about $2 million below the cap. So there's some room to grow there. But I think as a community, we have to take a look at that and make community-wide decisions about funding priorities. So we certainly, as a school board, it's our job to advocate for what we need and try to convince them that that priority should exist. At the state level, we continue to work towards getting the state to understand its responsibility in funding education, its constitutional responsibility, and what that funding really means and how far it can take us. And the big catchphrase these days is cost containment. What can we do to contain the costs of education? And there's hearings going on within the House and the Senate about how cost containment can be affected. I think one of the things that we're really going to focus on in the coming year would be not just cost containment issues, but protection of funding for instruction, making sure that the funding that's necessary to maintain instruction in the classroom is there. And that's going to be a tall order. So looking at the foundation formula, looking at ways to fund those fixed costs outside the foundation formula so that that instructional funding is maintained. And those are the kinds of things that I'll continue to work on and I have worked on for the last several years as I've advocated for education funding. I don't mind seeing kids out there, students out there, trying to get some fundraising done, but that shouldn't be their main effort. I'd rather see teachers and students doing what they do best, which is learning and teaching, and leave the fundraising to communities and politicians.
All right. Thanks, Lon Garrison. The question, Stephen, is from Kathy on Facebook. How can we get more funding from students or reduce expenses, expenditures, without having students peddle unneeded wares or high-caloric foods from door to door?
That is a very tough question. Everybody nationwide is feeling the pinch. And some of that is just the way it is, and some of that is artificial. And I think part of our challenge is to identify when that's an artificial pinch. The state funding deficit that we have right now is an artificial pinch. The state easily could have funded a lot of things in education this past year that they chose not to. I believe the number was something like the deficit that Anchorage ran this year, and I'm not going to say that Anchorage was the leanest ship they could have been, but I think the numbers worked out so that the state could have 40 times paid over what Anchorage was lacking with what they squandered on some other priorities that are not constitutionally mandated, such as education. And it is incumbent upon us to help them remember that they have an obligation to our students. And Sitka, by comparison, is a pretty lean ship. I'm pretty sure I'm mixing my metaphors there, but we run a pretty tight ship. That's what I'm looking for. We're in a pretty tight ship. And there's not a lot of fat to be trimmed. We have the number of specialists necessary, especially when you're looking at our mandated programs. We have the number of specialists necessary to provide what we need to provide. We have special ed students. We have special needs students who require that they have paraprofessionals or that they have professional personnel with whom they meet on a weekly basis or more frequently. And we can't choose not to fund that. And we're already running about as low as we can there. I can't speak for every member of the listening audience, but I think every child at every school should have access to a full-time librarian, a full-time nurse, or depending on the school population, more than one. I think every student should have access to the appropriate counseling access, both for personal and behavioral health, as well as for future planning. And these are the positions that we're going to have to start looking at trimming if we're going to trim any further. And those aren't the kinds of places that we should be trimming. The only other alternatives are in things like benefits plans. And if you trim people's benefits, we're not going to be able to hire good candidates. If you trim activities, our students aren't going to be as well-rounded. And activities don't take up as much of the budget as people think they do. They aren't inexpensive, but they're not the expense that they seem to be when the kids are coming around knocking on your door. So it is tough, and there is a very easy answer. The easy answer is to kick down every door in Juneau until we get what we need. But unfortunately, the road to that answer is not as easy as it needs to be.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. I'm going to carry that image in my mind when I think about the next legislative fly-in. We'll think about that one. You're listening to a live candidate forum here on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka at 726. I've got candidates Stephen Courtright and Lon Garrison who are vying for one seat on Sitka's school board. And we're interested in hearing from you. The number here at Raven Radio is 747-5877. You can call in your question, or you can post a question on Facebook, as several people have done tonight, through our website, kcaw.org. Or you can email one, as Keith has done, and we'll kick the lead back to you, Stephen, here. This is kind of in the vein we've been discussing here. This is from Keith on my email, news@kcaw.org. Both candidates have expressed concerns about current outside and legislative pressures affecting the quality, standards, and funding of our school system, which tends to be a legislative process. So what I'd like to know is what each candidate believes they can do as a board member to counter these concerns and negative trends.
There are some things that we can counter and some things that we cannot. One thing that we can counter is tone. We can definitely make it clear to our classroom teachers and to our students what we as a community value and what we do not value. And if some of these external mandates are things we don't value, a lot of them are tied to money, a lot of them are tied to things that we have no choice about. We can't choose when we test our students for the state-mandated standards assessments. But we can choose how much we care about what those assessments tell us. We can choose how much pressure we put on our students and our teachers to perform on those. And that, I think, is the ultimate role of a local school board in this debate, is to decide what we value. And that may mean, and it's going to cycle right back to that previous question, that may mean that we end up feeling a financial pinch because we're not performing the way that people think we should be, Or it may mean that, you brought up the stars earlier, it may mean that because we're not putting a big emphasis on standards-based testing, that our students start underperforming on those or start appearing to underperform, and that our star rating goes down for individual schools. And that's where, as a community, we need to know what it is we value. Do we care more about the instructional time given to these students, or do we care more about their test preparation? Do we care more about being 100% in line with what's happening in schools across the country, or with preparing our students for a life in Southeast Alaska? And those are difficult questions to answer if it means that you're going to buck the trend, because it's a steamroller. I mean, we cannot buck that trend without being willing to accept that there are going to be some ugly consequences. But, I mean, Sitka's a weird little town. I love a weird little town, and weird little towns are really good at standing up against the big guy and saying, hey, you know what? We don't really care. We're happy to be weird and different, and we don't mind being evaluated that way, as long as we know internally that we're doing what we want to be doing.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Lon, I can't remember a recent school board meeting where I haven't heard you talking about this same subject. How do we, as a board member, how do you counter the concerns and negative trends created by outside legislative pressures affecting the quality standards and funding of our school system?
Well, I think one of the things you really have to do is you have to communicate the success that the district has. And tell our story so that people understand who we are, what we're doing, and the good work that we're doing. And then we also have to be very candid with folks about what our needs are and where we need to improve and where we need to grow. So as I have worked with legislators, both at the state and federal level, I've tried to convey, you know, where Sitka sits in terms of the education paradigm and how well we're doing and what our needs really are. And try to also understand that when you're dealing with politicians and when you're dealing with legislators, the idea of going in and just kicking the door down and saying, by God, this is what we need, you need to listen to us and do it or else, doesn't often get you very far. What I try to get across to folks is that there are kids that are, there are real human beings that are involved here. And it's those kids and the state legislature's responsibility, their constitutional responsibility, to fund that education and provide that opportunity for a high quality education for each and every student. And what does that mean? How can they help us get to that point? And I don't think there really is a single legislator out there that has a grudge against education, that doesn't want to see our students succeed. They may have a very different idea of how that might go about, but I feel it's important that I portray, as an elected official from the community of Sitka representing the school district, what our needs are and where we need to go, and all of the elements that come into making up those needs. So I try to really present both what we're doing well and what we need to do and where we need to go and how they can help us. What are the items that they can really work towards providing some solutions for, rather than go in and be argumentative and try to convince them that they're entirely wrong. I want to show them a way where they can be right. They can be a part of the solution. And that can be awfully challenging sometimes when you have some real fundamental disagreements with the direction that they're taking. And it takes some time to understand how that can work in your benefit.
Well, just as I pictured Stephen encouraging kicking down the doors, and, you know, I'm trying to picture you, Lon, having a calm conversation with the chairman of the House Education Committee, Lynn Gaddis, over school vouchers.
Well, I have actually had those conversations with Representative Gaddis. And, you know, it's always a give and take. It's a debate where I always try to be extremely respectful. I try to listen and understand the perspective where they're coming from. And then I try to portray exactly how we feel as a community and how we support education and what our, you know, what our take on this really is, and our concern about the fact that, you know, will vouchers, what effect would vouchers have on public education as a whole? And sometimes you gain an inch, and other days you don't gain much. You know, with some of those folks, it takes a long time, and we've been working in between the sessions on those very issues with those very people, trying to keep up that pressure, trying to portray the needs of the district and what public education's about. And it takes a considerable amount of work.
Okay. I don't want to be too inside here. I'll give you a chance to respond to this, Stephen, but I'm sure many people listening are aware, and many probably aren't, that the two education chairs on the House side and the Senate side were given to freshmen Republicans last year, people who had been elected in 2012.
Correct.
Got chairmanship of these important committees in sort of the fallout over the reorganization of the Senate when the Republicans captured a majority and the bipartisan coalition that many people remember Senator Bert Stedman from Sitka being associated with. When that coalition was broken, there was an opportunity to sort of reseed these committees with some of these new folks who helped break that coalition. And so I was baiting you there a little bit, Lon, because it's not an ideal situation for legislatively for school districts now that are as committed to the idea of the model of public education that our board has expressed here in Sitka. So that I'm just trying to sort of bring people in on kind of our inside game here. But
right.
So Stephen, just we're sort of following this thread here. I mean, if you're on the school board, you're going to be dealing with Lynn Gaddis and on the Senate side, Mike Dunleavy. And they're not going to be really receptive to some of the things we've been saying here tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, they both came in very vocally with agendas regarding education, and they have done their best to follow through on those agendas. And I found it very telling when there was an education committee meeting that was built basically to set up the future of education in the state, and it took place after school had started on school days. It made pretty clear that they weren't interested in hearing from when Mike Dunleavy set that up. It was pretty clear he wasn't interested in hearing from educators on that one, or from students, or probably even from parents who were going to be at work those days. And it's an uphill climb. These folks have an agenda. They know where they want to go, and they have their reasons for that. And so the challenge is to find a way to convince them that their reasons don't work for everybody, and to remind them that our public schools are a public trust, and that they are not just important at the community level, but also desperately important at the state level, and that supporting them as they need to be supported is going to be a major part of helping our state continue to be successful as we go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Stephen Courtwright. You're still in the lead here. I have another question from Facebook. And by the way, you can pose a question for our candidates on the phone, 747-5877. You can email us, news@kcaw.org, or you can post a question on our Facebook page. The easiest way to access it is go to kcaw.org and click the big Facebook button. This one is from Janelle. Stephen, how can we as a community and district better celebrate the achievements of our students, our board, our staff?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for asking that one, Janelle. Well, you know, the most obvious things that we do always are, you know, we do the in-school things. We have, you know, assemblies and celebrations that we hold on the individual school campuses, which are usually pretty widely publicized in our local media, where we're trying to celebrate them. And I see great things happening all the time where, you know, students are being profiled for their weather blur efforts, or, you know, we've got an entire page in the newspaper devoted to athletics. But there are a lot of great things that are going on that aren't coming out. And I think that's where it would help to start going to something that I mentioned it to mention a competing forum at the Chamber of Commerce forum. I did mention that I think having site-based councils would be useful, where we would have a group of parents, teachers, administrators, and students at each school who talk about issues that are relevant to the school. And those could be a great place to begin finding these success stories and helping them get out into the community. The specific mechanism for that, I'm fond of our local media. I love the Sentinel. I love Raven Radio. I love the idea that people are frequently commended at the assembly meetings and that we get to hear that on air. But I'm sure there are other venues that are great venues for finding out the success stories as well, and that we shouldn't have to wait until the next parade or the next whatever it might be. In the era of social media, I'm tempted to say that it could take that form in some way. But then again, social media presents its own unique set of headaches.
All right. Thanks, Stephen Courtright. Lon, the question is, can we better celebrate, can the community and district better celebrate the achievements of our students, our board, and our staff?
Sure. That is a great question. And it's one that we've actually given a considerable amount of thought to. You know, each school board meeting, we try to recognize either a student, a staff member, somebody who's been involved with the district in some way, shape, or form. So that's very important to us to show that, you know, we understand what folks are doing and we value that and we want to recognize that. But beyond that, I'm really intrigued by the notion of what other things can we do to celebrate and provide some sense of accomplishment to folks and give them a reward that's much more tangible. One of our board goals last year and this year is to try to come up with ways that are actually tangible ways to celebrate and support the teaching staff in the art and science of teaching. And we know that there is more to reward than just increased salary or an increased benefit. One of the things that for folks who use a lot of cognitive skills in their job, one of the greatest rewards is autonomy and creativity, the time to take advantage of that. Are there ways that we can make that happen? Can we provide additional professional development for certified and classified staff that provide that tangible benefit and recognition of a job well done? I think those are the kinds of things that kind of excite me. And along the same lines, how could we extend that to students? What could we do for students that would produce a similar effect? Could we support something that would give students the opportunity to show autonomy and creativity? I don't know what that might be, but to me, I think those would be ways that would be tangible and that would, I think, be something better than just a certificate given out at the board meeting. The other thing that I've been thinking about is, what are ways that we can celebrate parents? How can we engage with the parental community and celebrate the work that parents do? We haven't brought parents in to recognize them for, hey, great job. You know, you guys put in a tremendous amount of time. And I remember when my girls were in school, going to the ferry terminal and picking kids up and dropping them off and housing kids and being a part of the bringing food to the debate and all those kinds of things. So parents that are involved. And not just the parents that are the Uber parents that are involved, but how can you celebrate the parents that are also just there for their kid day in and day out? Those are some of the things that I would really like to explore, along with community organizations that do a lot for our kids in this community. You know, you have the Elks Lodge, you have a number of different organizations that really do value kids and do a lot with our students. So I'd like to find ways to make that happen.
I'm embarrassed to say that the first thing that popped into my mind when you said, how do we celebrate parents, was pay their tuition bills.
I wish that were the case.
We have a special fund.
I know how much that is, yeah. I have direct experience with
that. The byproduct of success in the Sitka School District is...
It is, yeah.
Tuition at college. Unless you're, kids. But I should balance that by saying I think that the district does a pretty good job of helping kids track down scholarships and things. We're going back to Facebook again. This is a live candidate forum here on Raven Radio, KCAW and Sitka. I've got school board candidates Stephen Courtright and Lon Garrison. They're both vying for one seat on the Sitka School Board. Garrison is currently an incumbent, and Courtright is the challenger. And Lon, you have the lead again here. The question on Facebook is from Blake, and it's related to technology. Should the district provide internet access at home for students who have none? Is there already a program in place, or could this be something that the district provides?
Well, that's a great question, internet access really is the issue now in terms of equality, equality of opportunity, and we're seeing this come up more and more across the state. It used to be just dollars, and can you get a good education, and what kind of funding do we have? Now it's internet speed. What is our access to broadband, and what's that? How is that defined? If you go to the lower 48, there are opportunities for low economic status folks to obtain a subsidized internet service. And I know that the state and the broadband task force, along with broadband providers throughout the state, are looking at opportunities to make that happen. Can the school district do that? We may be able to help with part of that. A lot of it will depend on how what's known as E-rate gets funded in the future. And as the federal government goes through its manipulations and controversies regarding the federal budget, the idea that we can get more funding for internet access through E-rate is a little bit dubious in my mind, but it's something that we have to push for. E-rate is crucially important to the district being able to simply provide the internet service that it does through the district and have that opportunity at the schools. But I think the idea that providing that equity of opportunity for lower-income folks who will need that to succeed is a question that we're going to have to grapple with, and it's coming. And the board is going to have to take that up at some point.
All right. Thanks, Lon Garrison. Stephen, the question is, should the district create a program to provide internet access for students who don't have it?
It's an interesting question. Internet access is recently in Europe, they were debating whether internet access was a basic human right.
And this is not an issue at Mount Edgecombe at all.
No, not at all. And that was one of the notes that I was jotting down. This is not an issue at Mount Edgecombe. So it's not something I have thought about a lot recently. But I was taking advantage of my opponent's speaking time there to think about a few things that I do know about this issue. Other places that I have taught, because before coming to Mount Edgecombe, I did teach at two different schools in Arizona, have confronted issues similar to this. I've taught in a place where there were some students with commute times of well over an hour, and the school would check out technology equipment to them so that they could take advantage of that long bus ride. But this gets into slightly different territory when we're talking about internet, because as every parent knows, as soon as you put a child on the internet or provide an internet connection in a location where other people can access it, then you start running into issues of who's responsible for what. And I don't think it's I don't think it's right at all for the district to provide internet out of hand. I think it is absolutely right for the district to investigate ways to help people get internet access at their homes. Because one of my chief concerns in running here is the issue of equity. I really want to see all students having access to the same quality of education and same quality of engagement and interaction with their education and all the opportunities that are provided. And if one student can go home to have blazing internet, then the other student can go home to have maybe internet provided on a cell phone. That's a very inequitable situation. I think it's incumbent upon the school district as it investigates these issues and the school board on behalf of the district to look for partnerships. And they may be partnerships with our local providers. They may be partnerships with governmental bodies. But I think it is important that we look for those partnerships. If the city of Sitka can manage to have now looks like a bit of a weak internet signal, but if the city of Sitka can manage to provide internet for the business corridor for when we have guests in town, maybe there's something that can be done in partnership with the city and our local internet providers to ensure that there is access on some scale for the residential areas of town as well. And I think there are a lot of questions raised by that, but I think it is definitely something that the kids need to have access to. And if they can't have it at home, we need to make sure they have access to it somewhere else.
Interesting. Thanks, Stephen Courtwright. I do remember a joint meeting with the school board and the student body government where they were like, you guys, we need Wi-Fi in the school now. I mean, this is not... it's kind of ridiculous that we don't, and they've got it in Haines. And it, the expectations of
They called us on the carpet, and we said, "Hey, we got to do something about this."
Yeah, it is interesting how the sort of attitudes and or the necessity of internet access has changed in just the past few years. Lon, you're still taking the first question. We have another one from Facebook. This is from Paul. What do you think should be the role of the tribe in relation to the school district?
Well, I view the tribe as another government that we need to work with and another sector of a very important sector of our community that needs to be included in everything that the district does. And we have worked very hard, certainly in my time on the board, to make sure that we've been moving forward with our Native community on issues that are important to them. And I see a great collaborative effort that has begun, certainly as we implemented our cultural director within the district and trying to implement more Alaska Native culture within the curriculum throughout K-12, that's an integral part of what we do and a way to connect with many of our students who, frankly, were having some difficulty with student achievement. And because we feel like and we know that those students are not connecting to the Sitka schools the way that that other students are. So it's something that I believe we can work in partnership with and have been working in partnership with the tribe, and they're an integral part of what we do. And I look forward to continuing that work. I'm exceptionally excited about some of the projects that are coming up, and one of those is a new collaborative project with regard to preschool and early childhood education and development.
And are we going to try and say the name?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah, I got to learn the song.
Yeah, we'll get it. We are getting there. Stephen, what are your thoughts on the relationship between the school district and the tribe? This is a question from Facebook, by the way, from Paul. Or what do you think should be the role of the tribe in relation to the school district?
Well, thank you for that, Paul. I would reiterate, it is another governmental body. And as such, it's like the assembly in that regard. And much as we approach the assembly occasionally with a handout and occasionally in order to celebrate accomplishments, I think there should be that relationship with the tribe. But I think the tribe also sits in a place where it can be an immense resource to the school district. And it feels to me like the school district has been embracing it more as a resource of late. Obviously, there's the cultural resources available, the intellectual resources, the native knowledge of the land and of this place can inform our instruction to a great degree. But there's also the manpower resource there, as Lon alluded to, when we're seeking out these students who are underachieving, having successful people who are able to come to them from the tribe may reach them in a different way than having successful people who are coming to them not from the tribe. And I think that the best role for the tribe going ahead is as a partner to the school district, providing services that the schools would normally attempt to provide but might not be able to provide as successfully. The schools are bearers of culture, but there's no shame in knowing that there's somebody out there who can teach it better than you. The schools are bearers of tradition, but there's a lot of tradition here that predates the Sitka School District. And I think that that's the best role going ahead of the tribe, is as a partner and as a resource.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. We are just about out of time. And traditionally, these candidate forums end with kind of closing remarks and things. But I just had an idea pop into my head because the governor is coming here next week. And I just want you guys to think for a minute. In your case, Lon, you actually are on the school board. Stephen, you're hoping to be on the school board. I want you to think that you're on the school board and you have 60 seconds of face time with the governor. And I wonder if you got a chance, one-on-one, no aides, nobody there monitoring the conversation. You have a minute of time with Sean Parnell to make your case for schools. What would you tell him? And Steve, do you need more time? It's one of those situations where being in the lead might not be the advantage.
That's fine. It's difficult to figure 1 minute out of this. I'm trying to think how I'm going to get him from Pacific High over to the Performing Arts Center in under a minute.
Let's say he's seen our facilities and he's been out to Blue Lake. He is coming to the station, and I'm hoping he's seen some of these places before I get a chance to talk to him. But you have 1 minute with the governor, board member, Stephen Courtright.
I would probably go to the wall in Sitka High that sits right next to the commons with all those beautiful portraits of students who have succeeded. And as we were just standing there looking at that wall, I would point out how many great things had come in this community because of strong support from the state government. I would point to the successful large-scale projects, but also the fact that we've been able to nurture so many students from kindergarten and pre-kindergarten through 12th grade into being such diverse, wonderful folks who succeed in such diverse arenas. And some of them can succeed in multiple diverse arenas. We have students who are able to simultaneously excel at music, DDF, and cross-country, and who then can turn their hands to engineering following that, perhaps. And the continued investment of funding and concern from the state is what I would push for with that visual right in front of us.
Okay, here comes his press secretary to whisk him away. And he whisks him over to Lon Garrison. You have a minute with the governor, Lon. What are you going to tell him?
Well, I think I'm going to portray, you know, the successes that we have in the Sitka School District and the vision that we have as a community for what education really is. But I'm also going to take the opportunity to ask the governor, how can he help the community of Sitka continue to see that vision be implemented, and what he can do what options he has at his disposal to help us continue getting where we need to go. And I think part of what I would part of the conversation that I would have with him is, as I mentioned before, how do we protect the dollars for instruction? Governor Parnell comes from a family of educators. His mother was a teacher, so he's pretty in tune with what education is about and what it means. So, what are ways that he can foresee opportunities to help fund education? And it may be something very different than what we have traditionally thought about. It might be outside the foundation formula, which he has tended to focus on. So, are there things like digital learning that he put forward last year as part of the governor's budget, didn't get approved by the legislature at the last minute, but can we continue that effort? What are things like that? How can we address the actual fixed costs of operating a school district, energy costs, for instance, transportation costs, those kinds of things? And those are the items that the governor has tended to focus on in terms of both cost support and cost containment. So that's the kind of conversation that I would have with the governor. Show him our successes, show him our challenges, and speak to him about the possibility for he as the governor to lead the state in supporting education in strategic, beneficial ways.
All right. Thank you, Lon Garrison. I should point out that this governor, whether you love him or not, he's somebody who seldom gives you just a minute. You usually get a few with Sean Parnell, which is one benefit of living in Alaska, I think. You've been listening to a live candidate forum with school board candidates Stephen Courtwright and Lon Garrison.